For all of our bonus episodes and premium content, become a member over at patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. That's patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. You can also find us on social media. On Twitter, we're at whatcrappens. On Instagram and Facebook, at watchwhatcrappens. We'll see you there. Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors, Christy Wowardy Dowardy,
Kelly Barlow, when she goes Barlow, we go high-low,
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg,
just saying, okay,
Shannon out of a cannon Anthony,
and our super premium Patreon subscribers, Kelly Grant, the Grandmaster.
Give them hell, Miss Noel.
Alyssa, Magic Mikev. And Lizzie Drucker, a fine motherfucker.
We love you guys. Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast about all that crap we just love to talk about on Ye Olde Brows. I'm Ronnie Karam from Trash Talk TV and the Rose Pricks Bachelor Podcast, which is coming back very soon. And here I am with my gorgeous little friend, Ben Mandelker of the B-Side Blog and the Banter Blender. Hello, Ben.
Oh, hi. How's it going?
Good. What a fun Monday. We had such a great weekend on this podcast. So many good podcasty things happened. We got a shout out from Patricia from L Southern Charm, which was amazing. Mm-hmm. Changed my life. Okay. Also that terrified me because amazing. I mean, was it the most recent episode? Because I think I had her masturbating to the bell, like rubbing William's bell or Michael's bell. So,
well, when I first saw her tweet, she was like, has everyone here heard of this podcast called Watch What Crappens? They make fun of everyone on Southern Charm. It's hilarious. I was like, oh, thank God. I thought she'd be like, these two men need to get a life, which is also true. But I thought she was gonna rail into us, but she was like, they are hilarious.
Give her time. And she is, give her time.
Yeah. I'm like, we make fun of your son.
And I'm like, you. Oh, my God.
Except I've always loved Patricia. You have not loved Patricia, right? Or am I misinterpreting?
Hi, take your fucking Ben bus back and park it in the Ben bus station. How about that, Ben Hound? I go up and down, and I always will, but that's the fun of this show. So then Captain Lee was like, oh, I've worked with those guys a little, God damn it. I too have been a victim of their crimes, or whatever he said. So it was like a double whammy, which I loved. Yeah. And by the way, what he is talking about is, I wrote a digital show for Captain Lee with my friend Najabi and Jen, and you can go see that on BravoTV.com in the Below Deck section. It's called What Would Captain Lee Do? And yeah, we just put Captain Lee in a bunch of different housewife scenes and stuff, and Vanderpump Rules. So he's kind of a character in those shows now. And it was so much fun, and I didn't say anything about it because, you know, you never know when I'm going to get fired off a job or... I didn't know when it was going to come out or whatever, but I worked with that guy. God, it was like 2 or 3 months ago now. So much fun. It was so awesome meeting him. It's so crazy to know that he listens to this podcast. Like, he knew who we were.
Yes,
my impersonation of him for like a whole day. It was amazing. Mm-hmm.
He's probably one of the few Bravo stars who has always come off well from the very beginning, because all he does is yell at people. And I think sometimes we just need that, you know. Since the beginning, he's always been like, "Wow, you get these goddamn yachts in order. If they're not in order, then you get them out. Get a one-way ticket to the goddamn off the boat back to the goddamn mainline." Man.
Yeah, and just we've been writing jokes about Captain Lee, or not writing them, but you know what I mean. Like, we've been making Captain Lee jokes ever since he's been on that show. So to get to do it in real life was amazing, and like to be on the set and just like, you know, you have to come up with different lines when stuff doesn't work. And I would just start doing Captain Lee voice, like, well, God damn it, here's what I say about teaching your kid goddamn fellatio at the dinner table, which is one of the scenes. And he was just cracking up, and it was so much fun. What an odd dream to never have that comes true anyway, you know?
I know. Well, this has really been a banner week for Watch What Crappens, okay? So, like, 7 days ago, Kelly Ripa accidentally added us in her Instagram story, which is really a thrill, a great accidental thrill. We had Patricia give us this huge shout out, you know, out of nowhere on social media, which then Captain Lee pipes up about. Today, Ina Garten just announced that she has a new cookbook coming out. I just pre-ordered it right before this podcast, like minutes before. So already, like, amazing week. But this past Saturday, something truly, truly epic happened. This, of course, is the weekend that the Avengers came out. And I felt like I got to witness a Bravo version of the Avengers. I was at a baby shower.
That's funny.
Thank you. You can use that with Captain Lee. And by the way, so cool that you did that. I don't feel like I gave you enough props for that. That's so cool. That's a really awesome opportunity. And I'm
so
excited to watch
it. It was months ago.
No, I'm giving you a public.
Oh, babe, thanks.
And I'm going to watch it now that's on Bravo. I actually saw that it was up there. So I have to watch it. Anyway, Saturday afternoon, I'm at a baby shower, and, you know, I'm wearing baby shower appropriate clothing, aka khakis and some sort of like like teal and blue gingham thing, like super, like I look like I was like 3 weeks late for Easter. So the baby shower is winding down. It was in Sherman Oaks, sort of in the hills there. And it sort of felt like, well, you know, sort of dressed like this, why don't we like keep the ball rolling? So we decided that we'd be fancy and go to the Polo Lounge in Beverly Hills, famous Polo Lounge that Kim Richards was kicked out of after many years of having a booth there. So,
man, and after peeing there, I can understand why you'd lock yourself in those bathrooms. I mean, those are some high quality bathrooms.
They are great bathrooms, actually. So I went with my friend Melissa and Diana. Now, Diana is actually a countess. And I should have known that when I recruited Diana for this mission to go to the Polo Lounge to enjoy some afternoon beverages, that something amazing was going to happen. Because we walk in and lo and behold, sitting there in the corner is Miss Lisa Rinna. And she is sitting there with Countess Luann de Lesseps.
Oh, my
God. Yes. So already, like, my heart's already beating because it's Lisa Rinna. And as I walk in, I'm, like, looking at her. I'm like, will she remember me? Will she not? And she sort of looks at me from across the room like, hi, I know that man. I know him. And she goes, hi. And then she remembers. She starts going, how are you? And, like, across the room, I was like, oh, my God, I'm getting Rinna. This is amazing. She's giving me a how are you? But I'm like, oh, Countess Luann is with her right now. Like, this is already too much for me to process. I dart away from Melissa because actually Diana hadn't arrived yet. And I just like leave Melissa just like in a cloud of dust. And I like saunter over and I'm like, hi. And I'm like trying to play it cool. I'm like, I know Lisa Rinna a little bit. We've met her before. So I'm going to like say hi to her first. And she's like, hi, well, this is Victoria. And I look, I'm like, there's Victoria, Luann's daughter. And I was like, hi, nice to meet you. My hand is like fully shaking. And then Rinna goes, and I believe you know this woman right here. And I'm like, and it's like Countess Luann looking gorgeous. That meant all three of them are looking gorgeous. But I'm like, oh, hi, nice to meet you. She's like, oh, hello, how are you? I'm like, good. I'm just like, oh, I'm like trying to keep my shit together. And I'm like making awkward conversation. And I was like, come on, Ben, you gotta get it together. Okay, you can't. If I'm too awkward, this is just gonna peak at a, oh, hi, I just wanted to say hi. So I'm like, how are you? How's it going? I'm like, congratulations on your season winding down and congratulations to you on your season starting up. I mean, the most bullshit thing you could ever say, right? Like, what am I talking about right now? Congratulations on your seasons. And like, it's a little bit of a haze for me because there was just like this patter. And then it was one of those things where I started talking too much and not breathing. So then I had to take that big swallow. You know when that happens?
Yes.
So I had to take a big swallow, which is always like a sign that you're nervous. I was like, fuck, I'm not being cool right now. I'm being very uncool. But I sort of got my sea legs, call back to Captain Lee.
And turtles.
And I was like, cause I was all awkward. And then I was like, wait a second. Like I can, I can steer this ship. I can, I again, Captain Lee. I was like, what would Captain Lee do? So I said, you know, I'm coming to your show next week. She's like, oh, really? Oh, well, you know. And then Victoria's like, well, I'm going to go also. I don't know who I'm going to sit with, whatever. So I was like, going to try to be like, oh, I think I said, well, sit with us. And somehow, like, in the process of saying that, I like went from Ben Mandelker person at the Polo Lounge to I suddenly stepped into podcast mode and I became a lot more self-possessed. And then I started like talking. I also propped myself up with one hand on their booth. So that way I wouldn't feel so awkward. And once I did that, once I was sort of more physically stable, I was better. So then we're just like chatting. And then Lisa was like, oh, well, they have the best podcast. They are hilarious. I mean, they give it to us. They give it to us. But they are so funny. They are they are so funny. Well, the man's like, well, I want to go on. I want to go on. So now I'm like fully dead. Like I'm actually a skeleton standing in the Polo Lounge. Like my skin and muscle just turned into dust and blew off into everyone else's food. And I'm like, Luann wants to come on the show. So I was like, okay. So I was like, well, I mean, Luann, anytime you want to, anytime. And it was like so over. I'm trying to remember the other thing she said. Luann was great, by the way. She was like chill and fun. And of course Rinna was too. But I also was like, if I don't check myself now, I'm going to take over this little meal they're having and just talk to Luann only. And I don't want Rinna to get mad at me. This is Rinna's meal. She was already like, you could tell she was all like, okay, we were actually having a conversation before you came over and stood here with your neon teal gingham shirt.
Good to see you. This isn't a food court.
I'm trying to remember the other things that Luann said that were just so funny. There was like so much, like my brain is now exploding, but.
Oh my God. That is amazing. And I told her you sent me that, right? Oh, you told her that?
I told her, I was like, you know, we're doing a show in San Francisco the same night as you're doing your show. And we're half a mile away from each other. She's like, oh, that's crazy. She's like, wait, she goes, what? Oh, this is what it was before. And she was like, what? Now, wait, what show? And then Rinna was like, oh, they do a podcast. And that's when she's like, I want to go on. Why don't you come on
live in San Francisco, ma'am?
Literally on the exact same time. But
oh, darn.
It was like such a huge thrill. So I was like, well, we should get a photo. But I knew, I was like, they were out just to have lunch. They were not in photo. You can tell, like,
yeah,
you don't
take photos at the Polo Lounge. You take photos like at the Grove.
Yeah. So then she's like, well, we'll think about it. I was like, that's okay. I was like, we'll think about it. I was like, shit, I don't get to have a, I was like, cause you know, if I could have had a photo with both of them and Victoria too, but Victoria was fun, by the way, in the few seconds I spoke with her, she was really fun. Like I want her to sit with us at Countess and Friends. I don't know if she will, but Luann said some other things that I remember. I was like, I got to remember to talk about this in the podcast. And I'm forgetting
we'll
right
just now. Just have a breaking news update throughout the show when you remember stuff.
I really will.
Upcoming news break.
This was, by the way, in the immediate aftermath of me popping a button off of my pants. I mentioned this on the bonus episode. When I arrived at the Beverly Hills Hotel, when I stepped out of the car, my button flew off. The top button on my pants flew off. So I'm sitting there with like basically pants that are barely standing up anyway. So
I think because we become so close in life that, you know, yin and yang, you know, like I start losing weight and then it starts going over to you. Like the universe has to balance itself out somehow. Sorry, Ben.
It's okay. Well, either way, it was like, it was amazing. And then for the next like 10 or 15 minutes, I like could not focus on what my friends were talking about. And it was funny because this is when I found out that my friend Diana is a countess, because we're talking about, like, she was like, who is this woman? And I'm like, well, she's on Real Housewives. She's a former countess. And then she lost it because she got married for a little bit, but she still just calls herself the countess. And Diana's like, well, you know, I'm a countess. I was like, what? Oh. I was like, ugh. If I had realized that, I would have told Countess Luann, by the way, I'm with a countess right now. And I would have had so much countess cred with the countess, with a real countess.
Well, you never know, because there's countess rivalry. Maybe it's good that you didn't remember or you didn't know yet, you know?
Well, they could have traded stories about being countesses. You know, well, I was like, it could have been
Caroline Fleming. Like, remember when my countess My countess husband killed your countess grandfather back in the day. What a fun time.
What a time to be alive. It was, I'm telling you, it was a pure thrill. And, and the funny thing is also, this is also on the heels that, our song Forever Countess made it onto iTunes, and that's now available for download. So like, and I posted it on Instagram that morning. So I was like, it was just a day of it was just Countess Day. It was like International Countess Day.
I'm annoyed. It was because further in the neighborhood, further down in the neighborhood next to you, right after I got out of this, I got your text. And I was like, what are the odds? I was over at Annabelle DeSisto's recording Adderall and Compliments, which comes out this week. And it's an hour and a half of her telling me her story of trying to interview Ramona Singer in New York. And it is one of the funniest fucking things. And she also met the Countess and almost fell down. And the Countess is like, I lost a diamond earring. And Ramona's like, just go on Twitter and say you lost an earring. And people will take one to your house. That's how, you know, like these people, like the world they live in. And so I got out of that dying laughing and then got your text like, oh my God. I was like, what kind of world do we live in? It was a magical weekend, people. Magical.
It really
weekend.
Was. And to meet Countess Luann, well, technically I've actually met her before, but it was 6 years ago. And I've told the story too many times, so I'm not going to go into it again. But that was very brief. But to meet her in the context of Lisa Rinna just made it all the more epic. Because it's like, I feel like Lisa Rinna is getting lost in the story. And it's like, no, it's Lisa Rinna. And even though we've met Lisa Rinna, I'm still starstruck by her. Like, I see Lisa Rinna, I'm like, how are you?
Are you kidding me right now? So that is amazing. What a great weekend. So thank you, Bravo Universe, for giving us this great weekend. I'm just hoping it doesn't swing around and hit us in the back of the head because, you know, good is followed by horrible, horrible tragedy. So
it
whatever
will.
Tragedy happens, hopefully it's being taken care of by the 5 fire trucks across the street right now cutting down a goddamn tree. So everybody, yeah. Our bonus episode we just recorded is I went to a gay play and had major rage. I got triggered. And Ben talks – then we talked about poop. Oh, no, that was our TME commercial.
Yeah.
And then we talked about the Correspondents' Dinner roast. So go over and listen to that. And thank you to everybody on Patreon. Also, we are still on tour. We're going to be touring through the end of the year. And we're going to be in Chicago next week. Sold out. Sorry. And then after that, we're going to be in Phoenix and San Francisco on Gay Pride. Phoenix, we're going to be covering Real Housewives of New York. And San Francisco, we're going to be recording Southern Charm. And we're also going to have a bunch of little special Gay Pride things happening to celebrate the Countess being down the street during that show. So that is going to be a fun
Countess
show,
Jason.
Whether or not you watch Southern Charm. Just come. The experience is so much fun.
And you have enough time now. There are some people who are like, but I don't watch Southern Charm. Trust us, start watching. This is your homework. We think you're gonna like it. Like there's a reason why this show's been on for like 5 seasons. It's a good show. It's really good. So watch it, enjoy it, throw yourself into it. Ronnie, do you want to tell everyone about our Chicago plans?
No, you do it. I don't want to mess it up.
Okay. I'm assuming this is. Tell me if I mess it up. Also, so basically. So we're thinking, okay, so what are we going to do for Chicago? What are we going to talk about? We definitely want to talk about Vanderpump Rules at one of the shows. But then whichever show we talk about Vanderpump Rules at, the other show is going to be like what we want to hear about Vanderpump Rules. So we decided to do this. It's going to be Vanderpump Rules reunion episode 1. So the first half of that reunion episode we're covering at the early show, and the second half of the reunion episode we're covering at the late show. So everyone's going to get Vanderpump Rules. That's going to be a night of Vanderpump Rules reunion. And you're thinking, well, how are you going to fill out an entire show talking about only half of an episode? Trust us, we can do it. And even if we don't do it, we will find a way. Anyone who came to our Boston show saw that we we spent an hour and 45 minutes, and we only got through the first half of the New Jersey reunion episode. So
yes.
Don't worry.
We will have plenty to talk about. So
we'll have plenty
on.
To talk about. We'll do a lot of that. We're going to have fun. It's going to be a Vanderpump Rules explosion in Chicago.
Yes. Yeah, so go get your tickets at watchwhatcrappens.com and go watch the Captain. What would Captain Lee do? We'll be posting that on our social media today and tomorrow, just so you guys can know the links and stuff. But that's over at bravotv.com in the Below Deck section. And let me know what you think. Okay,
yeah.
And now it is time for the very first episode in the real...
Main show episode.
The first main show recap of Real Housewives of Potomac.
Yay, it's finally made the transition from bonus show to the main show for Watch Your Rapids. We just didn't have the space for it, but now we do, and it's here. Welcome back, Potomac.
Yes, it was like that 2 weeks of onslaught of shows where it's like, oh my god, there's too much to cover, and now it's like, okay, now everything's now things are ending. What do we do?
Well, we got Potomac. We're gonna be set for a while because we got Potomac, Southern Charm, New Orleans. We got hanging around. Below Deck Med is coming back in 2 weeks, so we are going to be, as always, filled to our gills with Bravo content.
Ja. So, Real Housewives of Potomac, for those of you who do not have the bonus episodes and haven't been hearing it or catching up, it's been great this year. It's been
really, really strong.
Funny. They're having their strongest season in season three. They've been killing it. Just watching Karen losing her mind, her money, and her wigs. I mean, you can't get better. Monique, who was a first season housewife last year, has really come into her own. She's more gorgeous than ever, but also just has no problem with any kind of shade, which is very fun.
Yeah.
Ashley is just, you know, a mess, but like keeping it together. Yeah. Karen, right now it's all about Karen for me. And Robin is a horrible goalie. Like she's a horrible.
Robin is starting to fall into antagonist role, I think, a little bit, which I'm actually enjoying, because Robin is like, she can be really cold, and that has always been used for the powers of good. But I feel like this season they said, you know what, she's cold. We're gonna make her the villain this season. So yeah,
we've always disagreed on whether that's used for powers of good. I think Robin's an a-hole personally for the most part.
She's a little bit of an a-hole this season, and I think that she is now the villain. But time will tell. Time will tell. Sometimes a little difficult to see who is the villain and not in this season. But they've been showing a lot of really sort of snobby moments from her. Not snobby, but cold moments in a way that's not fun.
Snotty. There's a better word. So just because she just started making money again, so it's like, it can't be too snobby yet. She'll earn it though. She'll earn her snobby back. Right now she's just a little snot. like a goalie, when I was a kid playing sports, my parents forced me into every sports ever. I played every sport for 1 week before I either got kicked off or just threatened to, you know, jump off a cliff. And when I played soccer, I was so afraid of the goalie on one of the other teams because he was so big and just gave me Robin looks. Like the way that Robin looks at people, I would run away from the goalie, which you're not supposed to do apparently in soccer. So that's what I mean. And she reminds me of that and, you know, traumatized.
The goalie was like, you're not allowed to talk about my relationship with the goal. Okay. Like we've been through a lot. The thing is, I always played defense in soccer. Because I didn't want to have the pressure of having to score, which says a lot about my personality. I was like, I would rather be back here and just kick the ball forward. It's easier. Just when the ball comes to me, I just kick it forward. Because if I'm on offense, then I have to actually aim the ball at something, and that's a lot of pressure on me. So I would stay on defense. And the other thing I would do is every time a defender – I mean, anytime the ball started coming in my area, I swear to God, this is a true story, I would start screaming – I start screaming macadamia nut. I go macadamia nut, macadamia nut. And like the first time I did it, everyone sort of like stopped and was like, what the fuck? And then like I kicked the ball. I like distracted them by yelling macadamia nut. It was like, I was like, ooh. But then I did it for the next like 2 months. And so I just became this weird kid who yelled macadamia nut every time the ball came near me.
And you don't know why?
I know why I yelled macadamia nut.
Why were you yelling macadamia? To distract them?
To distract them. I was like, something random. And so, I was like, it sounded sort of funny. But then the thing is, it only distracted them that first time. And then it just was a random kid yelling macadamia nut.
I love that you were that kid.
Yeah.
Because everyone knows the macadamia nut is the most confusing nut. It's like, why is this included in a fucking nut mix? You know?
I mean,
if you're going to confuse people, that's how to do it.
That's a great point. It's a very confusing nut. Macadamia. It's like, it sounds like it's sort of like Jewish, like Judas Maccabee. Is that his name, Judas Maccabee? Maccabee, whatever his name is. Or it sounds like it could be smart, like academia, but it's neither.
It sounds like a really fancy girl name to me. Like, oh, Macadamia.
And it has an annoying crunch. It's like not really a crunch. It's sort of like soft. And you're like,
Ugh, it's just weird. It's like not really a nut and it's too big. And they use it, obviously, to take up space in the nut mix, you know, so they don't have to put too many almonds or cashews, which are more expensive nuts.
Yeah.
Cashews are infuriating, really, the macadamia nut.
It's just, it lacks character.
It does. Well, I mean, it's huge. It's huge and boring.
It's just like, hey, look at me, class clown. And you're like, no, like, I know you're funny, but you're not witty. Like,
quiet over there, macadamia. Right. Okay, so Real Housewives of Potomac, our first full recap, and it's macadamia nuts and soccer. So,
By the way, I'm partial to almonds because that's what my last name means, almonds, I think.
It does?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know what my last name means. I think Smith in Lebanon. Okay, so we open with Ashley. She's going to teach yoga, so she's getting her yoga certification. And she's over with her main teacher named Faith. She's going to teach some yoga.
Ashley is she's gotten really into yoga after her separation from Michael, and she's on her journey to becoming a yoga teacher, which I really hope we don't have to revisit this. You know, I hope this is not her journey over for the season. Like, that season finale is her getting her certification and having like a big yoga party. I'm not in the mood. I don't want it.
Yes. And Candace comes. So if there's anything that makes you want to do yoga less, Candace is in your class now. Have fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, I've heard of like hot yoga. This is like loud yoga. This is Candace being like, oh my God, yoga. Oh, am I supposed to sit? It's like, bitch, everyone's sitting on a mat. What do you think? What do you think, Candace?
Candy ass yoga. It's a new form of yoga where you're so annoyed while you're doing yoga that the frustration fights the peace and you burn more calories.
Yeah. Did you notice that one girl in the class who just rolled her eyes when Candace entered? She's like, oh.
Yes. It was the most amazing slow eye roll I've ever seen in my life. I mean, that needed its own scene. It was like, roll.
It was like a low, slow, like.
It was like watching a time lapse of the sun coming up and going and setting, you know, rising and setting.
It was like one of those carnival rides, you know, where like you sit in a thing, like a big like pirate ship, and it goes like left and right and left and right, like higher and higher each time. And it was like her eye roll was like when the pirate ship is really at its peak. So it's like at the peak and then it sort of slowly rolls down to the bottom and rolls back up again. The pirate ship's up there and everyone's screaming.
I like that she calls namaste. She says namaste.
Namaste.
Namaste home. Yeah. So Giselle comes and I was like, this is going to be so good. Peace. While Giselle like slut shames a young person. Can't wait.
Yeah. So they all sit down and the instructor is like, okay, we start with an om. And she's like, oh. Which was funny, but then Candace is like, that was a good note. You hit a good note with that. I'm like, listen, we're allowed to say that because we're podcasters, but you're in the class, so be quiet.
Yeah, and Giselle was just giving this hideous look to her. It's like, you're supposed to be oming, but I would like to think that that's what Buddha really felt like, you know? I think that people have just really modified that fucking Buddha statue over the years to give him this peaceful little smile. I think he had one eye cocked open like Giselle, like, what the fuck? I'm sitting at a tree. I don't even know what the hell all these people are doing. I refuse to even speak anymore. That's how annoyed I am with this.
So now, like, Candace is making all these jokes because she's like, I can't reach my legs and this and that. She's sort of being very much like an actress, you know, like making it all about herself in what's supposed to be a spiritual moment. And I know it's not going to be spiritual because there's cameras there, but at least try. And Giselle.
Yeah.
And Ashley.
I can't believe Giselle was married to a preacher. I mean, if anything makes me believe like that the spirit isn't real, is Giselle. That's a very dark energy to have in church with you. I'm like, geez, I'm slut-shamed enough by this religion without Giselle being here.
So they have yoga. And then when yoga class is done, they all start chatting. And Candace starts talking about Chris, her husband. And she's like, yeah, Chris turns into a brown man when he drinks too much. Like, you know, his soul is brown a little bit. And you can see Giselle's just like staring at her, like,
Yeah, she
he's
goes,
super
that's
white.
yeah, she goes, that's a little offensive, don't you think? And she goes, oh no, he's not offended by it at all. She's like, don't you think black people might be a little offended by that? She's like, oh, well, who knows? I mean, his penis is brown.
And they're like, what? That's an overshare, I think. Like, I don't need to know that. I'm gay. I don't need to know that. Okay. I like penis. I don't need to know that.
She's describing it such a weird way. It's like his dick is brown and his end is pink. See, it's just, I don't, yeah.
It sounds like it's decaying.
Sounds like it needs lotion. I'm not sure what to say about it. I wrote down nothing. I wrote down literally exactly what she said, and that's it. And then Giselle's like, whoa, I don't want to meet him now because there's this vision in my mind. I'm like, weren't you just fucking somebody in a vineyard last week on camera? How about you just keep it quiet over there, lady?
So then Candace is like, we're in the Magnum Club over here. Yeah. I'm like, no one asked, no one cares, and I don't believe it now. Now I think now I actually don't believe, I don't think there even is a penis. How about that? How about that? I think you're bragging too
Magnum.
much.
Yeah, there's no penis at all. So Giselle, who last year had a like come to Jesus slash reading her book about being a preacher's wife poorly meeting to make everybody make up, is like, well, my first impression is she's young and perky and nice. And I really like her better than some other people I've met lately. The other people whose initials I won't give you, Monique Samuels. I'm like, oh, okay. So that come to Jesus lasted all of 5 seconds.
Yeah,
Good. I didn't like
that's,
that
yeah.
Giselle. I don't want that Giselle back. I want mean,
No.
hateful Giselle. Okay.
Yeah, same. So then we go to Great Falls and we see Karen helping Raven with laundry because Raven's heading off to junior year of college. And Karen's like, I can't believe Raven is already heading off to junior year of college. It just seems like yesterday that she was coming back from sophomore year of college and feels like it was even just like a few days ago that she was midway through summer vacation between sophomore year and junior year. And now it's practically just been an hour since, been a week since her halfway point through summer vacation between sophomore year and junior. I'm like, okay, not everything is like a milestone. Like, just going to junior year. It's fine.
Yeah, start reading something other than your iCal, Karen.
Yeah.
She's like, Raven, are you back? You're doing laundry. Oh, Raven, I'm so sorry about your father doing your own laundry. Can I help you? Look at me doing physical labor. Well, that's all I'm good for, since you won't even call your mother. Oh.
Raven, invite your mother up more often. I came up last year uninvited, and I was devastated. You were so mean to me, Raven. So mean to me.
And Raven was like, I was busy. I'm sorry. She's like, well, it made me respect my child. I didn't know I had to make an appointment. Ooh. So
I
then.
showed up at my daughter's dorm room, and there was a sock on the door. I was like, what sort of doorknob is that for your mother? I waited out there for 2 hours before she came out looking distressed. I don't know what that was all about, but I will not be touching socks.
Now, I wanted to tell you are inspiring. Adversaries will come your way. There will be peaks, and there will be. I forget the lyric to that song. There ain't no mountain high enough. There ain't no low, Mom. Lows. There will be peaks and lows. But you're solid, little sister. I'm taking questions. I'm opening the floor to questions.
Raven, do you have any questions? Are you gonna stop harassing me at college? This press conference is over. This press conference. No, no comment. No comment.
I expected more support. What are you wearing, a shirt with your college on it? Oh, devastating. So she's like, with Ray and his tax issue, I just need to move forward, full throttle. Okay, return your rental car, or I'll deduct it from your allowance. Everything is about finances.
I don't, yeah.
Karen lives on her own little planet. She's like, look at me being responsible with finances. Anybody want to submit this to the courts?
I feel like Karen is in a state of constantly giving press conferences to anything, just like inanimate objects around the house. She just like lines up all her brushes and like hair dryers and everything. All right, questions, questions. Everyone want to know anything? All right, hair dryer. Question from you. Yes. No, the response is, I've always done my taxes on my own. And no, I don't know what Ray is doing. Thank you for the question, hair dryer.
Yes, Ray may have tax problems, driveway, but does it have more problems than the Hertz rental car sitting here that is too lazy to return itself? Questions. That's a question.
Cuisinart, I don't appreciate that question. I won't answer it. I'm sorry, Cuisinart. We'll have to move forward.
Cuisinart, I'd like to take our differences and blend them up. Just become
Hamilton
one
Beach.
Big smoothie.
Hamilton Beach, listen, if you're not going to behave yourself in my press conferences, then you're just not going to be invited back. It's not, I'm not trying to crack down on the press. I'm just trying to let you know that there will be decorum at a Karen Huger press conference. Do you understand me?
Mike has cheated on Ike. I'm taking questions. Taking questions.
All right, Kraft Singles, what do you want to know?
All right, Landline.
All right, novelty bag of caramel popcorn.
Oh, good. Okay, so now we go to Candace and her husband having date night, which is really boring.
Yeah.
She's not like, much to say, really.
Yeah, she's basically adjusting her boobs. She's like, my boobs aren't right. And he's like, you know.
Yeah, he's like, I have a brown penis.
Yeah. And so she's, I guess Giselle was asking at yoga about whether or not Candace is going to do a prenuptial or whatever. And so Candace brings it up to Chris and is like, so Giselle was asking me about a prenuptial agreement, which I was like, LOL. And he's like, I don't care. You're the one with all the money. So like, it's fine. I'll sign it if you want. She's like, great. I was like, oh, well, that was a very fast arc.
As if her mother didn't already have one written up and signed, their second date.
Exactly.
Oh, she's like, well, I'm really worried about bubble soccer because these women are high tea and crumpets. I'm like, really? It's Karen and Giselle and Robin.
Yeah. I didn't see a lot of crumpets in Robin's, like, studio apartment that was like sectioned off with like little Asian shades to make rooms.
Yeah, this is like Lipton and like croutons. Okay, it's not high tea and crumpets. Okay, it's the Real Housewives of Potomac, ma'am. Do you have a DVR?
It's like Snapple and some old pastry from a vending machine. One of those weird Danishes.
Yeah, it's like Diet Coke and Ralph's cookies.
So, yes, back of Candace calling everyone to invite them to bubble soccer, and she's holding out a coffee mug that says, I'm like, ugh.
Wait, what does her coffee mug say? You were a little robot-y.
Oh, sorry. Her coffee mug says, future misses.
Oh, I'm
like,
Lord.
I'm like, oh, she's so going to be such an annoying engaged. She already is. She's always flashing her ring, you know, it's like to the waiter, to the
yes.
Uber driver.
She's like, I'm getting married. It's like the color purple. Married now. So Candace is just trying to like start a fight or a lecture or something, and he's like, nope, I'm fine with the prenup. And she's like, okay, well, I'm trying to get to know these women, so it would be nice if you'd stop jumping off of stuff into bodies of water. Could you not do that at bubble soccer? Like, yes, the high class of bubble soccer. And he's like, well, yeah. It is a park, so I don't think there's a pool. And she goes, well, any body of water, like if there's a lake, an ocean, a bathtub. She just shrugs. He's like, I'm as bored with the scene as Ronnie is, so can we just FF? Great.
I just want you to act like a mature adult while you're running around in a giant inflatable sphere.
So Monique is with her kids, which is pretty cute.
Yeah, they're brushing their teeth, and she's talking about how she like really appreciates them after having gone through the misery of a miscarriage, etc. So she's talking about, she's being reflective for a moment, and
of
she's
justice,
got
justice. I'm taking questions. I'm taking questions now. Sorry, Karen just pops up to do a press conference.
Mentadent, yes, Mentadent. I do brush twice a day. Sometimes I brush three times a day. What do you think about that, Mentadent?
So she's with her kids. She's like, I don't have a nanny. Wah, poor me. And Charisse comes over, and she rings the doorbell, and no one hears it. And she's like, is this bell ringing? Ding dong. Is this bell ringing?
Look at me being wacky. I'm going to knock on the window. I'm Therese.
I'm Therese. What would Sasa do? She would knock on the window.
So then Monique starts talking about how much she loves Sasha. She's like, you know, since moving to Potomac, she has definitely introduced me to a whole new world of network of people. I'm like, she's like, and then you took her place and kicked her out.
Yes.
Well done.
Yeah. Poor Sasha. She's like, aww. I introduced you to those fish in your tank. How could you do this to me? So Monique is making a cold remedy, which is ginger, lemon juice, and apple cider vinegar, which I'm sorry, but you know you didn't invent that, right? Which at first she didn't claim to, but she's like, I want to patch it up and sell it on my mob website. You know, it's crazy how you come up with something in the kitchen, then people can use it. A, you can't just sell food on a website, okay? You have to get approved. There's like health code violations and stuff like that. And second of all, you didn't invent that, but I will buy some.
Also, it's giving me flashbacks to Jules Weinstein's elixir that she made, Alkeme, something like that, Alchemy.
Oh, yeah. I wonder whatever happened to that.
Well, I think that Jules Weinstein is, she's on her own saga these days. I would like Jules to come back because she's gone through so much shit that I would like to get an update on her.
I don't know if I need that, but that's another day and another dollar.
We're just going to table that fork in the calzone for a moment.
Calzone, now listen. Are you filled with meat or just cheese? I'm taking questions.
All right. I have a question. All right, I'll take a question from Mr. Pyrex over there. The answer is no. I only bake cheese or meat into my calzones. I do not put in forks or anything that holds any sort of red sauce, whatever you call that. I don't know.
Would you rather vote for me or a woman who almost smelled, who almost swallowed a marinara side dish?
No, ramekin. She's running for office.
Yeah. Well, you do enough press conferences, you run for office. I have the news.
I reject the insinuation that I bake anything into it, but I don't. Anyway, Charisse is
like really reminding us that she is the real grand dame of manners, because Monique's like, we're going to a soccer game. It's like bubble soccer or something. Look at this invitation. And Charisse is like, this looks like a kiddie invitation. This doesn't even have kids. What is this? I'm not even going to read it because it's not in my age bracket.
Like, Charisse, you're the one who's riding around on a hoverboard, okay? Let's just like relax here. Okay.
She's like, I'm going to slap that with my flat bracelet before I put it back on my wrist. I'm like, okay, Sasha. She's like, can I have a fan blowing at me a lot of time? Thank you. Sasha!
At this point, I thought Monique was supposed to be bringing Chris to this thing. And I was like, how is Chris Samuels going to fit into one of these bubbles? He already is kind of like a bubble. Like, could there be anything more terrifying than a professional football player running at you in a bubble suit?
All the bubbles just start popping. It's like
playing a game of pool, you know? Everyone just gets scattered to different pockets. Here I come, bubble soccer.
So Monique's like, it is so hard being a mom and not having a nanny. Brother, you read this. That's her brother, right?
It's her cousin, I think. Oh. Hank.
There's too many people in her house. I don't remember who anybody is. So she's like, read this invitation for me. And he's like, soccer ball, soccer ball, soccer ball. And she's like, oh my God, you should read for Giselle because she can't read. She needs a ghost reader, not a ghost writer. And just kind of repeats her.
Right. Her joke. I think the reason why she said that is because he said the attire is sporty chic instead of sporty chic.
Oh. And Charisse is like, well, I guess I'll go. I am a sporty chick.
I do like bubbles after all. Bubbly, get it? Is that a joke?
Vamping
room.
So Monique's like, yeah, Giselle needs to not ever need to read that book out loud. Okay, never. Please.
And it was funny because when she said it the second time, I was like, I wonder why they left that joke in a second time. I was like, I feel like Charisse is gonna go tell Giselle that, huh? So anyway, we then there's Robin at home.
Oh, let's open some boxes.
Guys, can you take that stuff up to the guest room?
Giselle comes over, and the kid's like, I knew it was you. She's like, oh, you did? How? The storm clouds. Frogs Giselle are dropping from the sky.
Giselle is, like, barely able to get into the house. She has to, like, maneuver her heels over this, like, rocky gravel walkway. Once Giselle enters, we see Robin's posh new decor. And she's like, now that I've moved into like a slightly larger house, I redecorated. And it's disgusting. It's like this velvet green couch that was, I swear she stole it from a reunion. I swear, I've only seen it at the reunions.
It's like, I get that some people like hunting, but who kills the trash monster? What's his name from the Muppets?
Oscar
the Grouch. Yeah. Who hunts for Oscar the Grouch and turns him into a cat?
I like Giselle. She's like, she has moved 2 feet down the street and her house is about 3 feet bigger than the old house. Exactly.
Still, though, she has Juani Pua, so it's a win. Like, yeah, real winning. That's some real winning over there. So Karen and Charisse are going to join her to paint a guest room.
Yeah, I was like, where is Paige Davis? This is like the Real Housewives of Potomac doing trading spaces with Robin's house is kind of amazing.
Yeah. And they've decided to reset their fights every episode now, which I'm kind of liking so far. So Robin's like, well, I've been friends with Karen a long time. So, you know, she has extreme financial hardship, and I understand how that can affect your life. So I have nothing but sympathy for her. Now that I've completely publicly humiliated her and put her in her place and told everybody that she cried on the phone with me for 3 hours. Aw, hugs. Like, yeah, you're a real friend, Robin.
I know. Great. Real nice. Real nice. So
Karen does, like, Karen is all of us. She's wearing gloves. She's like, I'm just wearing gloves to come in this house.
Yeah, I'm going to look like I'm going to paint, but I'm actually not going to touch any of the paint. If anyone has any questions about that, I'm taking it. Okay, page roller, question from you. No, I shall not be painting. I don't paint. I'm Karen Huger. I watch the paint. You know what I like to do? I like to watch the paint dry, which is much more interesting than anything that you've asked any time recently. Paint roller.
Giselle's like, I don't know if I can do this with my nails. And Karen's like, and that's what you get for being a fake bitch. Questions? Anyone?
Press on nails. Question.
So they start writing on the wall. They kick the kids out so they can start drawing on the wall before they paint on it. And, of course, Giselle runs to Giant Brown Penis because it's, like, the only bit of info she gleaned from the new girl. So she's like, that candy-ass girl said her husband has a brown penis with a pink tip. I'm very offended. And then Charisse...
And Sasha. Yeah.
You go.
I was going to say, Sasha immediately... Because they start drawing stuff on the wall first because they're going to paint over it. And Sasha immediately writes something to the effect that Monique said that Giselle needs a ghost reader. So now Giselle's like, oh, you know, she's clearly saying something to get Giselle mad, which of course it works. Cause now Giselle, as you mentioned before, she was nice to Monique all season so far. And now suddenly she's turning.
Yeah. She's like, she's so simple and dumb. And Karen's like, well, have you met Candy Ass yet? And Robin's like, I don't know her.
Yeah.
I like that Robin's trying to give Mariah Carey shade.
Yeah.
But she's Robin. It's like, I'm glad you could afford someone to come hang some Ross curtains up, honey. But you're no Mariah. Okay, calm down over there.
No.
She's like, she doesn't even go here.
I had a vision of Juan. And it was all I could give it to me.
I had a vision of Juan.
I don't want a Juan. Don't want a Juan. Nothing you can say. Take me back to where Juan used to be.
So let's see.
Takes time. I'll go on. I'll do all the
Mariah
songs.
I can't think of any more Mariah songs. I'm thinking of Robin.
Even though I try, Juan can't let go. Something in Juan's eyes. Juan's got me feeling emotions. Deep inside him.
All I want for Juan Mas is Juan.
Sweet, sweet Juan, want to see baby. When you Juan holds my hand. I'm like mangling the words and turning them into Juan words anyway. It's like a disaster.
It's over. It's over, Robin. Okay? It's over, Mariah. She doesn't even go here. Okay, so Robin's like, well, I can tell you this much. I never want to be broke again. It got so bad, guys. Our gas caught up, and my kids had to take ice-cold freezing showers. I was like, well, you shouldn't have decided to drop out of high school to become a dinner theater performer, Robin. I was like, oh, my God, you're really projecting, Ronnie. You're really projecting.
Well, we should also – that they also talked about during this, they talked about the bubble soccer again. And Karen is shocked to learn that she has to play bubble soccer, one has to actually get into a bubble. She's like, wait, we have to get into this bubble ourselves? I mean, I question the age appropriateness of this. What is this? We're not children. I'm like, Karen, do you remember what you wore to your press conference? Okay. Come on. Age appropriateness.
I know, it's funny because now it's Charisse and Karen both on the same page. So let's see. I got so upset with Ashley. Oh yeah, Giselle's like, I just got so upset with Ashley attacking because, I don't know. Who cares?
I don't
Let's go on.
remember. I
They paint. They
remember.
decide to stop painting. Karen's like, do what we all do. Call the painters.
Yeah, you might get a little bit of eye candy. So now we go to Ashley and Michael, and they're hanging out, and she's like, meh,
And
and
he's
he's
like,
giving her like a
did
foot
you,
massage.
yeah. He's like, did you tell your mother she's cut off forever? And she's like, well, yeah, about that. I met with mom, but it's like if I don't cut her off, I'm like financially, our marriage is over. He's like, basically, if you don't cut her off financially, our marriage is over. She's like, but I gave tough love. He's like, are we still paying for her lifestyle? She's like, yeah. He's like, okay, I'm going to work.
How many guys' dicks do I have to suck before you get rid of your mother? Because I'll suck them all. I'll keep sucking. I'll keep sucking.
Back to the grinder.
Yeah. I don't know how many guys I have to hook up with on Grindr for you to get the message that if you don't get rid of your mother, I'm going to go to the other team.
I don't know what gave your mother the impression that I'm just hopping around with a little patch she can sit in to take care of her for the rest of her. Oh, that's right. Never mind dolls. All right, back to the grinder. I'm at.
I'm ready to Ayers rock you.
So everyone starts going to this bubble soccer thing, and Robin and Giselle are driving together. And Robin's like, "Oh, this is my first time meeting Candy Ass." And Giselle's like, "Oh, she's a cheerleader. Just you wait and see. Clap, clap, and clap, clap, and
Wasn't Robin a
there it
cheerleader?
is. There it
Robin was
is."
a cheerleader in high school, by the way. That was the whole thing. Juan was playing basketball, and Robin was a cheerleader.
Rah-rah, Cisco.
My
It's like the
team's an
most tired.
alligator and it's gonna eat you up. Brr, it's cold in here. There must be some Taurus in the atmosphere, so like turn on the heater or something.
Does anybody have a gas that's working? That would be great.
Give me an R. Give me an O. Give me a B. Give me a Y. Give me an N. It's me, Robin.
They're like, how did everybody fall asleep at one time in this entire stadium? They're like, it's Robin, it's Juan's girlfriend.
How
Okay,
about instead of a
so.
human pyramid, why don't we just do like a human, like just like one person? Like, Robin.
Look at me, I'm a human pyramid. Just
Can
me.
I be like a human hut instead? Just like a one small structure? Like, just be me.
Okay, so then we get to bubble soccer, and
Double
Robin's like,
taco.
Robin just shows up. Just look, Robin was horrible poor. Robin is like three times as gross with new curtains. To
I want
me,
to, yeah, I
she's
just want to
just like
say,
being a total biatch.
I would like to clarify that I actually really liked Robin in the first two seasons. Like, I was actually a big Robin fan. I just liked her a lot. And I feel like this season, she just sort of has like an attitude. It's not even like, I don't even know how to describe it, but she just has an attitude, which I know that like 2 years from now, I'm gonna be like, I miss when Robin had an attitude. That was like the best. I didn't really appreciate it at the time, but it's true. Right now, I'm not appreciating it, and I will grow to appreciate it, but right now, I don't like her attitude.
I
She
think
needs to
she's
just
been the
like chill
worst
out.
since the beginning. She went out, she teamed up with Giselle to go after the Jewish black girl. Then the next season, she teamed up with Giselle and went and screamed at Ashley in her restaurant. Like, I think she's just gross and she's a mean girl.
This is me putting my finger in your face. So, for me, the shocking part was that Sherman, Giselle Sherman, used to play basketball. And there was like a picture of him playing basketball. I was like, what? Sherman? Sherm? He does not.
Shermie? Oh,
I'm
Shermie.
surprised. That was a surprising thing for me. That's all. I just had to really get that off my chest. I want people to know how surprised I was. I am taking questions. Okay. Big Pen, question for Ben.
Okay, Bounty Paper Towel Man. You're next.
All right, question from complimentary sunglasses from Aperol Spritz. Yes, you.
So Robin goes up to Candace and she's like, oh, so you're Candace. And Candace is like, yeah, we met very briefly. She goes, I don't think we did. You introduced yourself to me?
No.
No.
She's like, I think you were in a funk, maybe, sort of like right now, like right, yeah,
She goes,
that.
I'm sorry, I just don't remember. Like, can't you even fake it, Robin? Just say, oh, yeah, it was nice to meet you.
Yeah, it's like the easiest thing. Or just when she said, I think we met, like, oh, yeah, of course. I'm so stupid. Instead of being like, no, I don't remember. I don't remember. It's a power play and it's like not appreciated. Also,
also you live like an hour and a half away. Stop trying to power play people, lady.
Yeah, Hanover. Also, Giselle has giant ruffles on her sporty top, which I thought was funny. It was like she was not like content just to wear something from like the Nike store. She is like, I need to make sure that this outfit has ruffles.
Yeah, she was all over the place. And then she also wore a collar with like Pocahontas
fringe
on it. It's like, I just killed Pocahontas. Now we will talk about makeup. So let's see here.
So they're all standing around, and Chris is there. We should also mention that Chris is his restaurant will be catering this bubble soccer. We'll come back to that. But Giselle, she's like, I can't look at Chris because of his brown dick. You know, which is kind of funny that they would bring that up. It's also the poor guy. He's
Giselle. She'll bring anything she hears against you and just attack you with it for an hour. She's a horrible human being, and so is Robin. And I'm so glad they're on this show.
But you know, by the way, you can tell that Chris has had to deal with this brown dick situation for a long time because he seemed totally unfazed. He wasn't like, oh my God. You know that it's been like months and months of every time that Candace meets someone new, she's like, well, Chris has got a brown dick. It's pink at the end, but it's brown. Hey, he's a white guy, but he's got a brown dick.
Yeah. And then Robin's like, well, do you think that you would like it if he was talking about your private parts in public? Oh, yeah, Robin. You're really the one to talk about, like, what a positive relationship should be.
Yeah. 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 For someone who's always like, but stay out of it.
Yes.
She certainly has a lot of things
so
to say.
So Candy Ass does not fall for the bait, or she doesn't take the bait, which I was proud of her because she took a lot of haze in this, a lot.
Yeah.
And she did not, Giselle laugh, a lot.
That was good. Like, that was a really good one because I remember last week you were like, har. But that one, right, what you just did there, that was really good.
Why, thank you.
How did you do it? Will you take questions from the press corps? Scotch tape wants to know how you mastered that laugh.
Scotch tape. I will only listen to Bluetooth speaker. Bluetooth, it's your turn. Okay, so they get in. They're starting to get in these bubbles. And Robin's like, it smells kind of body odorish in here. Robin, it's rubber and you. Like, who are you going to blame?
Yeah. To be fair, it looked like it was like 85% humidity that day. It was like 90 degrees. So I understand why it may not have been like the most fun thing to climb into this like plastic bubble, this constrictive plastic bubble womb. So Robin and Candace both get into this. It was Candace. Yeah, it was Candace. They both get into their bubbles to do like a bubble soccer chest run. So they get into them and they're going to like do like a bubble duel where they're just going to crash into each other like two mountain goats. And Giselle's like, well, Robin's gonna do well at any sport she does with those big linebacker shoulders. And sure enough, the girls just like run straight at each other, and like I am shocked Candace did not just get punted to the next county over.
She practically did. It cut to commercial with her going, I can't breathe. So let's see here. Karen brings Matt and refuses to get in the ball, which is hilarious.
Her lawyer assistant friend butler / accountant Matt.
He loves her. He loves Minnie Mouse because he's basically wearing Minnie Mouse's dress. It's like, why would he wear that? It's like red with white polka dots.
And he's being like gay assistant shady. He's being like, look at these bubbles. It's ridiculous. Why would anyone get in these bubbles?
And Giselle's like, well, Ray can't come out here and run the risk of hurting himself when he has to work to pay Uncle Sam.
Me and Karen were saying that, yes. And then, Monique shows up with her cousin Hank because obviously, well, Chris was doing something, but obviously, even she says Chris wouldn't fit in those bubbles anyway. I mean, those bubbles are basically like those things that kids put on their arms when they learn to swim. What do you call those things
again? Floaties.
It's basically like you would put it on his arm. You know? All right, where's my second one? Where are we going to go swimming? Michael, I think, is the only other husband who shows up aside from Chris, right?
Yeah, and what's her buttons? Candy Ass is like, this is supposed to be a couple thing. Where is everybody's couple? Michael, welcome to season one of a reality show. You won't have one here next year either.
Yeah, exactly. Poor Shasha. She doesn't even have like a plus one friend. She's just like, It's me, and I brought my hoverboard as my plus one.
I'm going to have a hoverboard soccer event.
Did you notice that Sasha was wearing a shirt that said, "No pain, no champagne"?
I noticed it said something, but all I really saw, because the other word, the last word is in gold, so I just saw "no pain," and I was like, oh my god, I love that shirt. I need to get that. No pain.
And so, speaking of t-shirts, Candace actually made special t-shirts for all of them, and they're like, we are not wearing these. It's too hot. We're not putting on another layer, you stupid little twit.
And she's good at dealing with housewives. I'm really impressed.
She was. She's like, okay.
Well, as long as we can eat them when we eat, I'll be happy. And they're like, okay. Yeah. Like, she's bargaining with them.
I know. I thought that the t-shirts clearly had her husband's restaurant on them. So she was like saying, like, wear them so that way we could get the camera time. But I don't think they even had that. I think it just said something like, housewives soccer bubble soccer, or something like that. I was like, oh, you
yeah,
just
they
really
showed
want
the
people
sign
to wear them.
Yeah. They just showed his sign for like 2 seconds. Like, poor guy is getting ripped off. Poor Chris. So,
and you can't have a bunch of large balls around without Michael getting horny. So he starts pretending to hump Ashley in the bubble. I was like, can we not? Can we not?
Like, finally, someone explaining what happens to nuts after your 50s.
Let's pretend like we're two koalas. Let's get I'll stick my didgeridoo into your koala sack.
It's like, okay, but after this, we're going to visit my mom's boyfriend in his tent. He's behind that tree over there. God damn it.
Hey, do you want me to get you Adelaide? Get it? Adelaide? You want to get Adelaide? It's playing the word laid, but it's Adelaide. It's a city in Australia. You got to think about it.
You want to kick one in me goal? Sheila. So, Giselle's like, oh my God, look at Charisse. She looks like she's been through a thunderstorm. And Karen's like, that's normal for her. Questions?
Because they don't want to know about the storm front coming through. I have lots of things to say about the high pressure system. Question, yes. This is for the picnic basket over there on the side. Yes. Yes.
So the food is late. It's stuck in
traffic. I just want to point out, by the way, that when they start playing bubble soccer, first of all, it looks super fun. Super, super fun. But you see them playing it, and then when they're all done, it goes, game duration, 2.5 minutes. And they're like, okay, let's eat.
It's like the Kentucky Derby. And done. We've knocked a new girl over and almost broke her neck. Okay, we're done.
Yeah. So now they're like, we're hot, we're sweaty. Charisse looks like she just walked through a car wash. So can we eat now? And unfortunately, Chris's food has not arrived yet. So like,
Yes. And Ashley's like, you cannot get away without feeding these women. It's like a clump family reunion.
And Karen's like, if you got to do something for these women, come correct. Like, if you have a press conference, you can bring your pencils and peanuts. That's what you do. That's how you hold an event.
But I do like her. Question. Okay, so everybody gets lunch and they're like, cheers to balls. And Michael's like, yep, cheese, double cheese, everybody cheese, want to see my nuts.
Yeah, we also got a quick shot of the Potomac deer, which is always necessary. Anyway,
yes.
Go on.
I've missed that little deer, the terrified little deer.
The deer was there. Yeah, so Candace makes a toast to balls because the food finally arrives and now they're all hangry. My suspicion is that production blocked the road to make these women grouchy.
Yes.
So they pour this some sort of drink, and Giselle's like, it was like a thick syrup. It was not even juice. It was ooze, because it was thick syrup. I'm like, that was a good
juice.
I was like, that's some good leave the J off of juice humor there.
Yeah, she makes no sense. She's just going to be a cut fitness to everybody about every single little thing. I'm like, you're already going after the juice, Giselle. For Christ's sake, you've gone after the hostess already at this party. Now you're going after juice.
I mean, to be fair, I would also do the same thing. If I were on a reality show, I'd be like, that juice is nasty. Like, why would I stay at this party if they're going to serve me nasty-ass juice?
So Karen is like, oh, so Monique, have you spent time with Candace? And Monique's like, yes, the conversation went like this. And then they show the clip of that charity lunch or that lady empowerment lunch. And Candace is like, well, the first thing people ask about my husband is his dick white or is it brown? And it's brown. It's like the story she just tells wherever she goes.
Yeah, I was like, was that what she used in her Miss USA pageant? Probably is. It's probably
bonjour,
why she got it.
Bonjour, bonjour, bonjour. My husband's dick is brown. His dick is brown. The pink is the tip is pink, but the stick is brown. He's a white guy with a brown dick. He's a dick.
It's brown dick with pink tip. And it's strange color, but I really like it a lot.
So everyone's arrives. Like now the fake mortified about it. And yeah. She's like, and Charisse goes, why do you tell everybody about your husband's dick? And she's like, well, my black friends had never seen a white dick before. And Chris is like, do we have to talk about my dick again? She's like, well, I knew the question was coming, honey. And Robin's like, nuh-uh. She's like, well, not from you, Robin. She's like, not from any of us. Have we met? Do I know you?
Where am I? So then the food is being served finally, and Karen's like, do we have any napkins? She's like, where are the napkins? I'm not licking my damn fingers. I'm Karen Huger. I don't lick my damn fingers. I wipe them with a napkin. That's what an adult does. Yes. Question to Kimberly Clark over there. Yes.
Ray may have been short on his taxes, but he's never short on napkins. Any questions? Anybody?
One ply only.
So she's like, Ashley, you're taking this girl under the wing. Tell her about napkins. It's your job. Napkin mentor?
Yeah. Ashley. Does she know about paper towels? Does she know that paper towels can be used as napkins, too, in a bind? I will do that. I mean, I am a lady of the people.
Well, unfortunately, there are no napkins. And Charisse is like, would you be offended if I used this throat as a napkin? So they all just use their shirts.
You know who is a nice piece of eye candy is that? Brawny man. He's quite the eye candy. Quite.
Thank you, ma'am. Can I ask another question? No, Brawny man. You had your chance.
Brawny, just look pretty. Look pretty and soak up spills.
I'm loving Karen this season because she's doing 100 times more of the... Where she just, like, purses her lips and looks up and down, like, with this, but it's after saying things that make no sense. She's like, teacher about the napkins.
You might not have any napkins, but I'll be able to wipe up this mess.
It's like sick napkin burn, Karen.
Yeah.
So Ashley's like, speaking of the wedding, what happened? She's like, that's right, I'm getting married.
It's like, oh, no one cares.
We know. So, and she's telling the girls, she's like, I mean, I'm dealing with my mom, and my mother is the bridezilla in this wedding. And Giselle's like, oh, so she's paying.
Yeah, and so basically everyone starts questioning about how much her mom pays for it, because that's what these women care the most about. Like, who pays for this? Why are you selling your house? That's weird that you sold your house. That's weird that you bought that, you know? So Candace is very upfront. She's like, well, my mom pays for half the mortgage on the house. And then we're like, huh? She's like, yeah, I mean, she calls it her, like, vacation house, because basically she comes up once a month and she has her own floor. So that's what happens. And they're like, so what do you pay for? She's like, well, she pays for a lot. And they're like, why are you not getting angry and defensive? Like, we're trying to ask about your finances. And that's when Cameron's like, you know, honey, little non-Raven, you can ask about, you know what you say to these women? You say, I don't want to talk about my finances. Enough of these women. Okay? I can't believe that Candace is already going off to junior year of her marriage.
You say, none of your business. That's what you say to these women. No more questions. That's what you say.
You say, this press conference is over.
And Candace just lays out everything. She's like, okay, here's what they're going to be mean to me about. He's divorced. He has kids from another marriage. So they're out of state. I want them here. And Giselle's like, oh, you're going to pay for the mama to come up here? Like, she's... Giselle is so horrible. And then... Is it Charisse? Who says, what does that brown dick pay for?
Charisse, yeah, Sasha goes, what does Chris pay for with the brown dick? I'm like, way to wedge that in there, Charisse. And Candace is just totally unfazed. Like, no one, and that's when Karen is like, you don't have to answer these questions, Raven, fake Raven. You don't have to answer any of them. And then it gets sidetracked because Karen's wig starts to fall off. And we then pretty much, the rest of the episode was watching Karen try to readjust her wig. And she's like, no, I have it. And they're like trying to help her. She's like swatting them away. She's like putting her sunglasses on her forehead and putting it down. Like, and then like they're on the back of her head. Like it turns into like Cousin It. And it's just, it looks like someone dumped a whole bunch of spaghetti on her head. And she's just trying to sort it out. Be like, no, I got it.
Did you notice she did the Porsche? Hold on.
Yeah, I got it.
She goes, I've got more to tell. Oh, hold on. It's not about this. Okay, sunglasses. You have... Oh, God. It's just like trying to get away from her. It's like trying to run away.
She's like, fashioning a babushka like bonnet out of like the t-shirt. Like, here we go. Look. I'm from the old country now.
Candace is like, Karen, if you need, I have a hairline. It's like, oh no, dear. I need a hairline. Not a hairline.
And then she tries to act all cool about it in the interview. She's like, after 20 years of wearing a wig, I know how to do a little quick little adjustment and everything's fine. I'm like, that was not a quick little adjustment. That was like you were shaking lice out of your hair. It was just going back and forth. I felt bad for her. She's mortified. It's happening on camera. She knows we're all going to make fun of it. Because people make fun of her hair as it is.
It was so funny. Everyone was cracking up. And she just, it was like the thing was trying to run away from her. Yeah. And then she does what you just did. She went and like did that finger suit thing. She's like, listen here. And then, but it was that look, but with that. It's a terrifying thing. Someone made a GIF of it and put it on the Facebook page. And I just cannot stop staring at it. It cracks me up.
Oh, my goodness. That was so funny. That was, you know, it was funny because the episode was actually only okay. It was just like they all went to bubble soccer. They painted, they went to bubble soccer. And I was like, it's sort of bummer that like our first Potomac episode that we're covering on the main show, like it's actually one of the duller episodes. But then it's like, no, we're going to give you a little something fun at the end here. And I was like, you know what? Potomac season 3, it's working. It's doing its thing.
Oh, yeah. Well, welcome back to the main show, Potomac. We've missed you. Yeah. Everybody go get live show tickets at watchwhatcrappens.com. We'll see you guys in Chicago next week.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And we will be back tomorrow for a little Vanderpump Rules. We also have a special interview extra bonus episode this week with the Vanderpump Rules Party Girls. We're going to be talking to those gals tonight after the finale a little bit. And then we'll be back with both that episode and a full recap tomorrow.
Yeah, should be super fun. Can't wait for it. Loving it. Living it. Being it.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.